Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today we are joined again with Nate Questel. Hello, hello.
Hey Rob, thank you for having me back.
Yes, thank you for coming back. And we're going to be talking about time today. So go ahead and take it away,
Nate. Okay, well, time being what it is, it's been probably a month and a half since I was here last time. It was supposed to be a Friday thing, and time has not been on my side, or my use of time has not been on my side.
Well, you've had a lot on your plate.
Yes,
so it's deciding what's the most highest priority, and unfortunately this podcast did not fall under the number one priority.
I'll do better in the future. I sent this to Rob last week or 2 weeks ago. Was listening to a podcast with John Welburn and Zach Evanesh on, I think it's Strong Life Podcast.
Yeah, I think that's
it. And it was a great year-end wrap-up. And if you haven't heard that one, that's just a great conversation. Joe Welburn, I could listen to him talk all the time. Super, super informative and very well-read guy. Something that my New Year's resolutions is to try to be more well-read. But he brought up this quote from Henry Rollins, and the more I read it, I was just like, golly, that's so right on. And the quote is, "No such thing as spare time, no such thing as free time, no such thing as downtime. All you got is lifetime. Go." And that just kind of, you know... opened my eyes and kind of crushed my spirit at the same time.
It's one of those punches to the gut.
The more and more I read into it and started kind of looking up stuff, and try to diagnose yourself on how am I doing with this, or you're listening to very successful guys talk about how they manage their time. And, and I said this to you, I think, in passing, walking into the gym the other day. This is probably going to be a therapy session for me. So hopefully everybody who takes the time to listen to this, they can gain something out of Rob being my psychiatrist today.
Yeah, good luck to me.
I wrote down the definition of time just because I was just like that. I think that's a good starting point for us all to kind of figure out what time is and how we use it and how we can do better with it and how we prioritize it.
Yeah, to know how to manage it, it helps know, like, to clarify exactly what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's sometimes cliche to start with the definition of stuff, but it's a darn good place to start.
Yeah, time in this, I'm not for sure where I pulled this definition from, but it's the indefinite continued progress of existence and events in the past, present, and future regarded as a whole. And you can kind of pull that in any way you want to, but I mean, back to the quote, the thing that kept coming up to me is, I've said so many times, gosh, if I had more, or if I used it better. But it's, if you can keep in your mind that this is your lifetime, that's all you've got of it, and to prioritize and maximize it for everything that is. Again, nobody's going to do that perfectly. I know that. But to do a better job of it, it's intentional. And that's the thing that I think... I sent you, and you'd read it before, that Tyranny of the Urgent. And it's, we all get kind of in that role and that mindset of touching the things that are on fire right now, and we forget, hey, sometimes you need to let that burn so I can take care of what's really important.
Yes.
And I find myself in that situation a lot. So
yeah, I think we all do. And for example, as you go throughout your day, there's things thrown at you. And you would, like you're saying, with that tyranny of the urgent, is you would naturally address the thing that seems most urgent at the moment. And then all of a sudden you get to the end of the day and realize you didn't do the things that were important.
Right.
So that's something that's very, I had to learn that as a business owner. And also I had to learn that not everybody is going to define it the same way I am.
Amen.
So there are things in the gym that I completely let go because I don't deem them as important. They're urgent, but they're not important.
Right.
And other people will disagree sometimes. So a real small example, it's just almost like a funny example, is we have some leaks every now and then in the gym, just part of being like a old school kind of gym, and I might have like a ceiling tile that I need to replace, or it has like a water stain on it. I don't care. That water stain on that ceiling tile is not going to make or break our membership. It has
That's the reason I'm not squatting.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So it has very little concern on me. However, I have other people who say, like, oh, that doesn't look very good. You should change that. And I'm like, well, and this is maybe too honest, if I step out of my office to go change that ceiling tile, I'm going to get into a 20-minute conversation with somebody about something. I know it's going to happen. Yeah. Do I want to take 20 minutes to change that ceiling tile? No.
Yeah.
So it gets put off until some random night when I'm here alone.
Yeah.
Or I'll try to get my dad or, like, you know, somebody to help me with it.
Yeah.
But it is true. Is like, you have to decide, I have this time right now. What is the most important, not the most urgent, what's the most important thing I can do with this time?
Right.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I did when I was looking, kind of researching a little bit about this, was I looked up time management, and the one thing says organizational skills and buzzwords that are related to time management. And I think this can lead us into kind of, because again, I don't know how you structure your day, but it seems much more structured than mine, because my job is very fluid and dynamic. And I can get into a little bit more of that, but I think I create that as well, is because I attend to things as they come up as immediately. Mm-hmm. I don't push things off into piles of this can happen later, this can happen then. I continuously take care of things as they come up in my day, which to me seems the way to handle it, because everybody gets the attention they need at the time they need it, which
definitely sometimes you don't get the attention.
Amen.
Well, you get left over.
Yes.
Because like, I've lived, you know, like a bunch of ways in the business.
Yeah.
And there absolutely is a balance. So anything we're talking about here is, there are things that get thrown at you right now that become more important than other things.
Right.
You know, so if the building is on fire, that becomes more important. You know, I now have to address that.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, I've gotten it before where, especially with training clients, is I train clients for money. And then also I do it because I love it doing
right.
it. And I want to help people.
Right.
So very quickly sometimes what happens is you get a client that, you know, you train for an hour. They have something that came up. And so maybe you want to spend an extra 10, 15 minutes sending them something after the hour. Then you do that with like five or six clients during the day. All of a sudden there's an hour and a half, 2 hours extra work. Now I got to do that instead of maybe train myself. So I've had times where I would lose my own health to get those little extra things done for other people that – yes, it was helpful to them, but it wasn't as important as my health.
Mm.
So I had to start learning to streamline, and I had to start learning the word no, that actually exists, and you can say that word.
Gosh.
In the sense to where, not necessarily directly saying no, but saying to myself is, okay, we addressed something with a client that hour. There is something I could send them that might help, but I'm going to wait till next week. We'll right. address it together next week. I can go into more detail, really show them the value of it, and then also save myself time so I can get my workout in, or I can go, you know, meet with my parents for lunch, or do things that I want to do with my time that are healthy for me, rather than losing my life in the service of others.
Yeah, and that's so. Back to this time management, and this quick little list is things that, I mean, and I think you could expound on this a ton, but creating and keeping deadlines, delegation, goal setting and meeting goals, decision making, managing appointments, team management, project management, making schedules, all of those things. And like I said, there could be a laundry list more. Go through a little bit, because again, I'll run through my, and I use big air quotes, typical day.
No, that's so fine. I think it's good for people to see this.
Yeah, up in the morning, just to give a little bit more background, I've worked in multiple different facets. I started a staffing company back in 2002, and it's gone through from us selling it to being part of larger corporations two or three different times with mergers. So what I do is I staff nurses on contract jobs throughout the country, and I'm an account manager and a recruiter still at some level. But my day starts up in the morning, devotion, time with my wife, kids up around 6:45, breakfast for them, take my son to school, and thankfully his new school is two blocks from Brooklyn.
Oh,
so now
nice.
I get to park here and walk him to school every day, which is awesome. But then it's gym every morning, you know, without, I mean, very much differing on that. It usually happens. And then once I get to work, I've got a schedule that I wrote up when I came back into this industry about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think I made it in that schedule about 2 days. And that thing is on my desk, dusty.
Yeah.
And it's because, like I said, my job is There are people starting and stopping jobs continuously. There are people, you know, we take care of their payroll, their housing, their benefits, everything that's associated with it. So there's a lot that can happen in those, you know, good and bad. And so it's just constant turnover. So every 13 weeks, people are looking for new opportunities and we're having to staff them. I oversee about 700 hospitals, so jobs in and out. Anyway, you can see that it's just a constant.
There's a lot of pieces to that.
Yeah. And so the scheduling part of that is, and there are people that do my job on, in other offices throughout the country that are part of our company. And, man, they're really good at sectioning off their days. Hey, I'm going to do this during this time. And they'll let emails pile up, and then they'll address those. That's just never been the way I work. So,
yeah.
And not just work-related scheduling, but life-related scheduling, I think, is what I would like to talk to you about. And because, I see how you're structured. And again, with appointments, it kind of works out the way. My wife's a hairdresser, so she works out appointments as well. But the concept of time and making the most of it, and again, with a new year, I think having some input from you on how that works for you. And again, you blow my mind when I see these posts and quotes and different times that have come up on Twitter or Facebook or whatever you're posting on, or Instagram, and I'm like, when does he sleep? Anyway, kind of give us a little bit of idea of how your day goes.
Well, so I'll go through that, and then we'll also come back to some things I think that are good highlights for people.
Yeah.
So one caveat that I want to say for sure that is unique about my life, compared to maybe some of the listeners, is I don't have kids. So that's a big thing. So I was just talking to a really good friend of mine last night, and he was he's a one-year-old, and he was saying how life has completely changed once he had a child, because everything is done for and around the child.
Yeah.
So you go, so you have to take the child daycare, you got to feed the child, you got to, you know, when the kid wants to go to bed is when you get to go to bed.
Yeah.
When they don't want to go to bed, you don't get to go to bed.
Right.
So, and there's a whole bunch of, like, there's a difference going to be happening between the specifics of everyone's life, depending on whether you're, you know, single, whether you have kids, whether you're, even if you're divorced and maybe you share custody, you might have certain days without your kids, and that's going to look very different than the days with your kids. So there's a lot of specific differences, but there's also those common things, like you went through the list of time management.
Yeah.
There are things that we all need to pay attention to, but how we address them might be different.
Sure.
So you talked about, like, some people being super structured and they'll let their emails pile up, and then some people are more sporadic in nature.
Right.
I actually am one of those sporadic in nature people. So I have a hard time doing something when I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? But but it's true for me. Like, a lot of what I do is, like, so, for example, writing a social media post, or either about a workout or trying to do, like, a motivational post, you have to almost feel in the mood to do it.
Sure.
It's hard to write something positive and motivational whenever you're like, oh, crap, I got to do this again.
Yeah.
So when it feels like a chore, it's hard to be excited about it. So so my daily schedule is very fluid, in the sense to where, like you said, I have scheduled appointments. So I got to meet people at certain times. But what I do in between those times is it's open to how I feel. So I've talked with a really good friend of mine, and we've compared how we structure our lives, and he's laughed, because I'll have apps on my phone is one of the ways I do it, and I'll have a checklist of things I need to do every day, and I have that checklist, then I also have a schedule that I would correlate to the time in which something was needed to be done.
Right.
So, for example, I have an idea of how much I can do in a day. So that gives me the ability to then decide what's most important, and knowing I can address it that day.
Right.
So, like, maybe I have, let's just give a small example, is maybe 4-hour block in the morning, I have 2 clients. So I know for those hours, like, I have 2 of my 4 hours are set in stone.
Right.
They're not going to change. But the hour, maybe I have an hour in between a client or 2 clients, what I do in that hour changes. So maybe right after my first client, we had an awesome session. It was really exciting, and we got to talk about something that was really kind of neat and unique.
Mm-hmm.
I might be in the mood to do one of my podcasts.
Right.
So I'll do the podcast right then when I'm in a good mood for it.
Yeah.
Let's say they came in, they didn't do anything like food wise. They weren't even really ready for the workout. So they kind of, it didn't go very well.
Right.
I'm not going to come out of that super excited. So what I might do is then write some of my programming that I have for clients I got to do,
mm-hmm.
or do some of the stupid accounting, boring crap that I hate doing for work. So if I'm already in mood that I'm kind of ho-hum, I do ho-hum work.
Right.
Like the monotonous, mindless work.
Yeah.
If I'm in an excited mood, I do my excited work.
Right.
So, and what I do throughout the day is I have a 14-item checklist of things I have to address at some point in the day. So I can take the first half of my day, do the things as I feel like doing, and then towards the latter half of the day, I do have to start forcing things.
Right.
So maybe I'm not in the mood to do this thing, but it's the last thing on the list, and I have 10 minutes before I leave. Well, that becomes the thing I now do.
Yeah.
So I kind of have a checklist at the end of the day, X needs done, but I don't have the exact time in which it's dedicated to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's time to do it, but I don't say at 11 a.m. I'm going to do this, at 12 a.m. I'm going to do this.
Right.
Because I don't feel like doing it
right.
maybe at that time.
Yeah.
So that's one of the ways that I like doing it, because I read a, forget the book, unfortunately, but it was talking about, there's a concept of rhythms of life,
mm-hmm.
like seasons of life.
Right.
But there's also rhythm of your day, there's seasons in your mood. So mm-hmm. in the sense to where, the one book I read, for example, is if you wake up in the morning and that's like your, like when I wake up in the morning, if I go to write something, I'm actually very good at writing. I'm not in the mood to talk to anybody when I wake up. I'm a horrible morning person. But I can write well and be very like detailed in my writing and everything goes well. Whereas if I try to write at 10 o'clock at night, I'm backspacing half the time because I'm like misspelling words or mm-hmm. just kind of foggy minded. So I make sure that I do my more technical writing stuff more early in the morning.
Right.
So, and then I have my training clients during the day. I don't like training in the morning. My body, this is just weird for me, but I wake up and I feel often usually dehydrated and I don't feel energetic to work out.
Yeah.
So my pain tolerance is garbage in the morning. So I've worked out in the morning at like 6 a.m. for 3 years before I had to do it when I would teach at the local university. But I never had great workouts. I didn't, wasn't my preference time.
Right.
So I schedule my workouts more in the early afternoon because that's when usually there's no clients anyhow.
Right.
So for example, 2 o'clock in the afternoon is a very low time for personal training. So, but that's actually a time whenever I just get done training my morning clients. I'm up on my feet. I'm energetic. I'm already awake. So I walk in, grab my drink, and walk right back out and get to work.
Yeah.
Whereas if I sit down, I'm going to start falling asleep because it's that afternoon slump.
Sure.
So that's generally how I take my day is
yeah.
I know what I need to get done. I do it in the moods in which I'm interested in doing it, but then start forcing it towards the end of the day to get it done.
What I've heard in some of that right there at the end was you're very good at kind of evaluating yourself and your moods and what works for you. I think that's lost on a lot of people. I think that's lost on me a lot of time is I just find myself in pissed off mode and I'm like, why am I here again? Or,
yeah.
you know, and what can I do to avoid this? You know, what steps do I need to make or take to not do this? And
mm-hmm.
I mean, we can get very deep into that as far as nutrition and exercise and sleep and everything else that goes on with that. But I mean, I think that's part of being better at managing this time is to be able to go, hey, what works best for me? You know, because mm-hmm. you're not going to be your best you if you know, like I said, in the afternoon or in the morning, I can't work out in the morning. You know, that's just not going to work
yeah.
for me. So, all right, what do I need to do time-wise and scheduling-wise to make that? Because, you know, and there are those times that, just like you said, there were several years where, and again, for me, my workouts really have to happen when
pretty,
they happen.
Yeah, they're because, pretty much set
yeah,
down.
So
yeah.
that's where it's going to happen. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I do the best with it, what I can. And I'm fine with that. I mean, again, I would not give it up. You know, I wouldn't say, no,
yeah.
I can't have that time. But I think that's something that hopefully, again, in this therapy session, that people are able to see that, hey, you know, listen to yourself and see what really works for you. Because I think it's very easy with time to get set in our ways of, you know, it's drudge and you just
yeah.
kind of drudge through things because that's the way you've always done it. Well,
doesn't mean it has
yeah,
to be
just
the
step
way
back
you
out
yeah.
of it just for a second to
yeah.
be able to evaluate, hey, why do I keep doing it this way? And is it the right way? And can I do something else that's actually going to be more beneficial, not just to yourself, but to everybody else around you? Because that's the thing that I've come up with is, you know, when I'm mismanaging my time, again, I have a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old and a wife, and that messes up everybody's time.
Oh, if I'm coming through and if you screw up, you screw up a bunch of people.
Yeah, so I mean, it's part of it.
So you have that responsibility a little bit too towards them.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's something where like the idea of like finding what works for you. There are certain components that can't be changed.
Yeah,
deal with it, accept it. Then there are ones that can be changed, and maybe you don't recognize it, but there are options. So like I have clients where, like I have one client. They work out, but their spouse doesn't.
Right.
And so what they do is they get up early morning and they get their workout in. So that way they have the evenings with their spouse.
Yeah.
But I have another kind of clients I work with. They're a husband and wife. And they decided to work out in the evening. They'll put their kids to bed, I'm guessing around 7:30, 8 o'clock-ish, mm-hmm. something like that. And then they have like a baby monitor so they can hear if they're okay. But then they'll go out to the garage and they work out in their garage at like, I think, 8:30 to 9:30 at night. And that's their time to talk about the day, you know, kind of sweat together, laugh together, move together. So that's kind of like their together time rather than vegging on the couch staring at a screen and not talking to each other. They both hold each other accountable to get off their ass and go work out.
That's awesome.
So I think that's awesome awesome for them, because they both know the importance of health, and when one person doesn't want to do it, the other one can help push them. So they work together. So maybe the early morning wouldn't work for them because maybe they could do it, but they wouldn't be excited for it. And like they said, when they were at night, they weren't using that time very well. They were just sitting in front of the TV not talking. So they decided to go ahead and do the workouts at night. That's when one of the spouses actually felt more awake to do workout anyhow.
Right.
So that's the natural time that the wife had. I think it was the wife that had fallen into, like, she would work out in the evenings, the husband would kind of do something, and they didn't get to spend a lot of time. So they found variability in working together, and that helped a lot.
Yeah.
So there are things like you can't change your work. If your job's 9 to 5, then you got to work 9 to 5. But what you do before 9 can change it to maybe, and what you do after 5 can change maybe.
Yeah. So that breaking down a little bit of scheduling, and again, that's part of time, and that's part of what I was looking at when I read that quote. But the bigger part of that to me is making the most out of your time. And I think we've all met those people that I think you, a lot of the times, whenever time I walk in here, I ask how you're doing, you're great.
And you said, I'm always good.
Yeah, always good. And I mean, I don't know. I think there's personality types. I think there's different things that make up different people. But to truly enjoy and understand that this is the one lifetime that we have.
Yeah.
How do we maximize that to, you know, one, be the person that we're called to be, you know, and don't shortchange yourself, or, you know, I believe in the higher power, and I don't want to shortchange my relationship with God. I don't want to shortchange the relationship with my wife and my kids because of what I want, or, you know, my bad attitude or whatever it may be. So how do you continually, and again, I'm not saying you're always happy and
go. Oh no, my mom and dad will attest to not always being happy.
But you know, it's keeping that mindset of, and what is the reminder to go, hey, you know what? And I do it often. I see people in situations that, at least from exteriorly, I'm like, golly, I'm so thankful that I'm not in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but how do you keep that mindset without having to have that reminder? What helps you try to stay in that positive frame of mind?
Yeah, I think I have some other people in my life who seem to be that way as well, and something that's actually a shared trait amongst us. It doesn't have to be everybody, but I actually spent a lot of my life hating myself.
Yeah.
And I've told a podcast before, like, I started working out at 15.
Yeah.
Because I realized I was kind of overweight. I didn't like the way I looked. And I was mad at myself for being mentally weak enough that I let myself become that way. So when I looked in the mirror and realized, oh man, I don't like the way I look, I immediately realized, well, how the hell did you let yourself get here?
Yeah.
And so I immediately blamed myself and realized that it was within my control that I got there. So therefore, it would be within my control to get myself out of there.
Yeah.
So a large part of my life, I'd say a good, you know, 5 years, maybe even more, I spent trying to maximize every minute of my day in the process of improving myself because I didn't like who I was. So it was almost like a a drive out of like negativity. Mm-hmm. So where like I do remember like if I was laying in bed and maybe I didn't work out that day and I was like, this is exactly how you got fat. This is exactly how you get lazy. This is why, you know, you fail at things in life. So I would just beat myself up mentally until I got out of bed and did push-ups.
Yeah.
And that was a hard way to live and not the way I'd recommend. But what it did do is it got me in the habit of understanding I control every minute of my day.
Yeah.
So if I don't like being overweight, well then do sit-ups. Do push-ups right now.
Yeah.
There's something you can do right now to fix that.
Yeah.
So I got into that behavior, and then eventually I was able to mold it to where now it's positivity, and like you and I have talked as we both believe in God. So I got to the point where God gave me the ability to change myself for the good or the bad. Mm-hmm. So I want to make myself better, but not out of hatred anymore, just because how cool would it be to find out what I'm truly capable of.
Yeah.
Like, it would be really fun to see how strong I could be, or how lean I could be, or like how nice to other people I could be.
Yeah.
Like how much I could get done in terms of, like, one of the New Year's resolutions I set this year was helps. So where I wanted to see how many helps I could give, and how I define it is every day if I do something for somebody and it makes a positive difference in their life, that's a help.
Yeah.
So maybe just saying hello to somebody I normally don't say hello to, that's a help. Maybe I, you know, send an email to somebody with a program, so that's a help. And even if they paid, I'm still helping them.
Yeah.
So that's my job. But it was being ways of, like, so if I make a social media post,
yeah,
I actually count how many people like the post as like my helps.
Yeah.
So how many listeners that day to my podcast. So my goal this year would be to do 100,000 helps.
Oh, wow. That's
great. Now, I average between, like, I think last year I didn't really do this where I count everything, but I figured out I probably would have been around 40,000 to 50,000.
Yeah.
And the reason why I set a goal of 100,000 was because it'll force something to get better in my life. I can't stay the way I am and reach 100,000.
Yeah.
So it's going to force me throughout this year to find what's next or find something new. And that's leaning a little bit on God, because I feel like if I have the goal of helping people, he's going to help me help them.
Amen.
So it was purposely setting something greater than what I was now, so I become something greater than I am now.
Yeah.
And I guess my drive to always be good, always moving forward, all that stuff, is because I spent a large part of my life unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And it never helped anything. Like, I was just unhappy, and I was maybe moving forward in my fitness and stuff, but I didn't enjoy the journey. I didn't enjoy the process. Like, if I went to a family reunion and they didn't have the right food, I'd sit there all grumpy and frumpy and, like, not be happy.
Yeah.
Well, I could have also not met my diet goal and been nice. I didn't have to be a jerk. You know, I didn't have to shut myself down.
Yeah.
So it was learning those things. And there would have been small little wake-ups along the way where, you know, maybe I wasn't nice to somebody, then something happened to them, and you're like, oh, shit, that would have been, I'm bummed that that's the last impression I gave them.
Sure.
So it was a lifelong of, like, hearing quotes like this and self-applying them. Like, looking back at myself and say, how can I be better? Not because of I hate who I am, but I'm excited of who I can become.
I've written down a bunch of quotes related to time, and I mean, everything you're saying there is, I want to say I truly hope that everybody wants that in their life. Mm-hmm. We'll get into goal setting and how important that is, because I'm the worst about that. I'm good about getting the idea and having somewhat of a plan, but the follow through. I mean, I continue to work, but it may not be as honed in as it should be. But your quote, or what you were just talking about there, this was a Nelson Mandela quote that I wrote down about time, and it fits there perfect. It says, we must use time wisely and forever realize that time is always ripe to do right.
When
I was hearing you say that, I was like, that's it. And so easily, there was a guy yesterday, I walk into the gym and there's a lady with a flat tire. And she asked me about an air pump. I was like, I don't. But I said, can I help you? Do you need a ride? Whatever. She's like, no, my husband will be here shortly. So he shows up later. I go back out to talk, or go out to get in my truck. He's there. I'm like, hey, you need any help with that? He's like, no, I got it. You know. But all it was, and again, my nature is, I mean, not that I shouldn't say that I don't want to help people, because I definitely, there's no better feeling. There's no better feeling in the world. And I struggled with that when I first came to faith, was doing good things. I felt so good about it. I was like, this is kind of prideful, or, you know, what am I messing with here?
You can hear, people talk about that sometimes.
Yeah, and so, but, you know, I could just see that man just by offering to help him. You know, and that's the thing. And again, are we going to change the world today? Hopefully, yes.
Yeah.
But when,
one step at a time.
Yeah, if everybody would just understand that. And this is the thing about Lifetime is, man, it's. You talked about your negativity. You weren't affecting anybody really, other than yourself.
Yeah, I was just
good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, it was an unhappy place in my mind.
Yeah.
While also trying to move forward.
Yeah.
Why not move forward while happy?
Yeah.
Why the hell did I have to be unhappy?
You know, I used to watch it, and I still do. My mom. It could be the weight of the world could be on her, but when somebody comes up to talk to her that doesn't know what she's going through or doesn't know what situation she's in, she is the best person in the world to him every single time.
Yeah, and those people are saints.
Yeah. Oh, it just blows my mind. It used to infuriate me. I was like, you just spanked me. I was like, you know, this is the worst time ever. You know, but
now you're trying to be all nice and nice.
Yeah, that's just, but anyway, I get it more and more now. It's just like, hey, my burdens shouldn't have to be everybody's burdens, and they're not meant to be. And you know, so again, back to Lifetime, it's like, man, what kind of impact do you really want to have in this so minuscule amount of time that we have here? Is, you know, do you want to be that guy that, like I said, the last impression you leave on somebody is, wow, what an ass that dude was. You know, and you may never see that person again, or you can be the person that they go, wow. You know, and I'll never forget a man we used to go to church with. He used to work at the Farmers Exchange. The first time I really remember meeting him, it was like one of those people. I shook his hand, and he was there. He was working, and he was there to help me. But it was just like there was something completely different about him. You were like, holy moly. Like, he just was genuine and truly there to help, you know. Yeah. I get that from you, and I'm not pumping you up on that.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's no, what I'm saying is you know, this lifetime of being able to have that and to be that for one person, you know. But then if you know every time you meet or greet anybody, you know, that you could make that day for them, you know. Anyway, that's
Something like real quick about that is, we know how we feel when someone treats us nice.
Oh yeah.
How good of a gift would it be to give that to someone else?
Yeah.
You know, so you know how you feel when somebody stops and says, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
And they genuinely mean it.
Yeah.
It feels good. So then, like, whenever you have the chance to do that for somebody else, you know, if you have the time, why not? You know, like, it's yeah. And the reason why I say that is like, for example, you offered to help that lady with her tire. That would have been at the expense of your workout.
Yeah.
And this sounds maybe crazy to some people who don't work out on a regular basis. They're like, oh, my God, what's one workout to helping that lady? It means something to people who work out on a regular basis. Like, well, we have goals. We have things we want to accomplish.
And it's my start to the day stress relief. And like I said, if I don't have it and walk into the office, it's a completely different mindset. If you don't, you know, to basically empty yourself in this gym of whatever's going on to be able to go into your day and go, okay, I'm ready.
Clean slate,
Yeah.
So it's something that's a big thing to offer to somebody, is that you're going to trade them.
Yeah.
I'm gonna help you at the expense of myself a little bit, and that's fun, and it's okay to do, and it feels good to do once in a while. But if you're doing that every day, that's not a good place to live.
No.
Yeah.
No. I wrote down several quotes, and I want to read through them, and we can kind of address some of them, and all of them obviously related to time. Time is one of life's most valuable possessions, as it is something you can never get back. And we've reiterated that. The next is, there's no time like the present. I know everybody's heard that, and that relates to everything we've just talked to. You know, when you see that opportunity, take it, you know, to be the person that you want people to be to you. You know, it's do unto others. It's but, you know, so take that time when you have that opportunity.
And also recognizing that right now, you can make a difference.
Yeah.
So if there's something you don't like in your life, like maybe you want to get healthy and you're like, oh, I never have time to work out. Well, you can be doing push-ups while you're listening to this.
Yeah.
You can be doing vacuums if you're driving in a car. Just pull your abs back to your backbone and flex your ab wall.
Yeah.
Like, right now, you can make a difference.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people don't recognize is, is every second of every day is an opportunity to make a forward progress.
Yeah.
So when you gave the definition of time, the word progress was in there.
Right.
So the forward progress of time, blah, 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 is like, that's exactly what's true, is every single second is a chance for progress.
Sure. The one I've said this, or I've at least heard it often, is a stitch in time saves nine. And that's about procrastination and taking care of things now, so you're not having to deal with them later.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think we all have worked around that, is, you know, because I've done it, is you're like, it's not that bad. I'll let it be. Yeah. And then it gets down to it and you're like, holy hell.
This got way worse.
It's like crap. I just didn't take care of it.
Yeah.
And again, it's prioritizing and trying to figure that out. And again, back to the whole thing of time is, you know, evaluate things for what they're worth at that time and what they could potentially be in the future. So take care of things when you can.
And I think something real quick to jump in on this is, I've used life experiences that I was unhappy with the result of as reminders.
Yeah.
So I've made this, I've told this before in a podcast, but one of the things I did recently, just this past year, is I'm really bad with procrastination. I think you and I are similar in nature, is we love creating ideas.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to, okay, I got the idea, now I got to do this thing every day for 6 months, we're like, oh, like, crap, dang it, this isn't as fun. Like, I'll do it, but it's not as fun.
Yeah.
Well, I had a trip with a friend once, and I had forgot my license somewhere. I forget where. I just lost. And it was like a month or two that I could have gotten that dang license.
Yeah.
And I kept putting it off because I thought I had to go to the DMV, and I didn't want to go to the DMV. And then I went on a trip with a friend, and we wanted to go into this dueling piano bar to kind of just check it out. Well, I didn't have my ID, so I couldn't go in. So my laziness denied my friend a really fun moment in their life.
Yeah.
They may have really liked that moment. It would have been something that we could have shared together. And that moment pisses me off now. Like, I really hate that I denied my friend that.
Yeah.
So it's funny how I'm more hurt over when I hurt a friend than I am myself. But I use that now. Like, when something comes up and like a bill is due or I have to go do something, I'm like, hey, don't leave it again till it ruins someone else's life.
Yeah.
Fix this now. So I'm a big fan of taking moments in my life that I was unhappy and not forgetting them.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes people say, like, forgive yourself and move on. There's some truth to that, but don't move on in the sense of forgetting that stuff.
Use things as reminders.
Yeah, forgive yourself for that moment, but then hold yourself accountable to never let that happen again. So I use life moments as reminders all the time, to where, like, something will come up and I'll go, oh, remember, you know, such and such. Like, remember the piano bar? And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I get right on it. So that's something that I use. But I'm a big fan of that. Like, I really think that a lot of people don't do that enough. Is when you have some unhappiness in life, don't forget that. Don't gloss that over.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
that hurt can be really motivating.
This goes to this next quote. The greatest gift you can give someone is your time, because when you give your time, you're giving a portion of your life that you will never get back.
That's true.
And I love that. And that's, I will say, telling on myself, I'm always, and I've got to get out of this mindset, is I have a hard time being present. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking to what's next and what could I be doing. And it's hard to sit there and listen to somebody. And I mean, when I'm having a conversation with somebody, I can say if it's something I'm very interested in, then it's great. But if it's something that doesn't, and I have a hard time focusing on that because I'm thinking, all right, what am I going to, and that's a terrible thing to do to people.
I think everybody does that to some degree. I mean, I think way more people do it than they would admit to it.
Yeah.
Is if you're talking to somebody, it's somebody you see on a regular basis, and maybe they're just telling you about their day and they're, you know, bitching and whining about something they had to do.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't really care about this. In your head, you're there because you know you're supposed to be, in your body, you're there because you know you're supposed to be there. And you're not. But in your head, you're like, I could be doing this, I could be doing this, I could be doing this. Or you're like, I have my own crap, you should hit listen to my day. Like, there's all these thoughts that you have rather than just saying, here I am with this person.
Yeah.
Let me invest into this person. They need this moment for me. Maybe there's a way I can help them.
Yes.
That is very hard to do all the time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Truly is. But again, it means so much. You know, again, I use my wife in so many instances here.
Mm-hmm.
And, there are times that, man, I'm 1,000 miles away into everything else that I want to be thinking about or doing or what my plan is. And, you know, it's the reality of finally coming to the time that I'm sitting there looking at her, and she's just already shaking her head like, you no. are not even close to this.
You jerk, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
And that is something that's, I think, important to remember is, it can be like a spouse, or it can be time with parents or something like that, is like, you aren't going to have that forever. The fact that you have like a spouse,
yeah,
that's someone who chose to share their life with you.
Yeah, man.
So even in those boring conversations, the ones we don't want to have, they're saying it because it means something to them.
Yeah.
And they gave their life to share with you. So
thanks, Rob.
Yeah,
thanks.
I know.
You're making me
well,
feel
these are the things.
So
this is how I talk to myself. So if I'm in a conversation with, yeah, like I'll use my mom as an example.
Yeah.
So maybe she's telling me about her day, and I'm like, I started 12 hours ago with all this crap. I don't want to hear anything more about the gym. And that's, yeah, just the truth. Any job,
yeah,
any job you do 12, 13 hours a day, you're gonna be tired.
Mine's about seven and a half on there. So,
but it's like she might be telling me something about her day, and I'm like, oh gosh, I don't really want to hear this. Immediately, I'll think, what if you're not hearing this? What if she wasn't here to tell you this? How badly will you want this conversation back in 10 years when it's not possible?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that stuff, like, I tell myself all the time, because that grounds you right back in the moment.
Yeah.
You get back invested into the conversation. So I use those reminders all the time. Now, sometimes I've had people tell me that that's kind of like a pressured way to live,
mm-hmm,
is always saying, like, I might lose this at any moment. But it also makes me enjoy the moment. So it's how I stay myself in the moment, is understanding that moment isn't always going to be there.
I think that's the greater part of what that quote, the initial quote by Rollins, was, is that, you know, you downtime, spare time, you know, whatever,
free time,
it's lifetime, and you've got to look at it that way. Is, you know, it's again, kids, they'll be telling me about their day, and I can watch my wife talk to my son and daughter about their day. It's a completely different conversation than they have with me, because they know where I'm at. You know, it's just different. It's just different. And I mean, I really try to pull myself back and go, okay, just slow down and enjoy what your 10-year-old has to say, because he's going to be saying 10-year-old stuff for a very short time.
Oh, yeah. You
know? So enjoy that. And that's, I don't know, again, like I said, if this just brings somebody's attention to the fact that, hey, don't take any of it for granted,
mm-hmm,
because it will be gone. It will. Yes. That lifetime is.
Yeah. Everything's so coming to an end.
Yeah.
And that's so negative and so pressured.
Yeah.
But it the more you recognize that, the more you can actually enjoy the moments you have.
Yeah.
Life slows down a little bit, and you actually start getting more out of like each moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this kind of leads into this next quote, which was from William Penn. It says, "Time is what we want most, but what we use worst."
That's a good quote.
That is a quote. And that's, I, you know, when I read that one, I was like, golly, you know, that's, I say it all the time. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times in the last 6 months that I said, man, if there was an eighth day, I could just get, you know.
Yeah, or if I had an extra hour every day or something.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and that's the thing that I struggle with when, you know, you get home and it's like, all right, you're getting everything done. And then you find yourself, or I find myself, I don't say you find yours, I find myself where you're sitting there and you're like, okay, do I start project A, which I know I can't get done tonight, you know, and I have to start it in the building and clean it up and do everything, I can't leave everything out, or, excuse me, do I just sit here on the couch, because I deserve, I've earned some downtime.
Yeah, these are fun conversations.
Every day downtime. You know, that's the thing that's so frustrating. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, it's the times that I don't sit down and I make something up for some of us, my son or my daughter or my wife, whatever, to go. We have a gym in our building that I go and I work them out, or
that's awesome.
Whatever it may be, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like that. And last night it was with my daughter, and it was 30 minutes. And it was after her wrestling practice. But we went out there, and it was cold, and we got it done. And we were walking back in, and I said, 30 minutes, sis. I said, how much better do you feel about your day? And she's like, awesome. I was like,
that's so cool.
So that's the things that I want to do more of. And that's the thing that I challenge everybody at some level, is to look at, find, because we all have extra 30 or 40 minutes that make a huge difference. Not just in your day, but in somebody else's day.
Yeah.
You know, find those times. And I can tell you, I never have the energy. I'm done.
I've accepted that as an adult, I'm always tired. So, like, my mom and I have talked about this before, is to use being tired as an excuse, I could use that from the second I woke up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wake up tired,
yeah,
wanting to stay in bed, but you got to get out of bed.
Yeah.
At any minute of the day, I could fall asleep. So I've just had to learn that when I was younger, and I wouldn't do something because I was like, oh, I'm just too tired to do this.
Yeah.
That never went away. I was never not untired. Like, yeah. I would never, like, the next day, I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm wide awake right now. I'm definitely eager to do it. It was the same. I was too tired to do it. Yeah. I was too tired to do it. All of a sudden, 2 weeks later, you haven't done it.
Yeah.
And nothing you've done in the space of it, yeah, has made a difference. So, for example, with that time of me not doing it, I wasn't able to become untired for the next day. So there was nothing improved. I just kept unimproving.
Yeah.
I kept not improving. So I eventually became, okay, you're tired. You're tired all the time. Just get off your ass and let's go.
Right.
And then that's the way, like, I talk to myself very aggressively, as you can tell, but it's what works for me, you know. So some people need more positive reinforcement, you know, some people do need a foot in the butt, but understanding that, like, you're going to be tired all the time. What is your common excuse? So we all have an excuse we use every single day.
Yeah.
If you use it every day, has it changed? If it hasn't changed, stop using the damn thing.
Yeah. And so, the reality of it is, and I think you'll attest to this, is that tired feeling, once you move, man, it goes away so quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that our bodies are so easily into, I need to conserve, I need to conserve, I need,
yes,
to conserve. And it's just like, you know, we've got so, I mean, every day I want to be that at the end of the day, and this seldom happens, but I want to be done. I want to be completely spent at the end of my day.
Worn out.
Like, just, you know, like, oh, I just can't. And I have days like that. I mean, there'll be days where it's just like, it's nonstop. And I mean, I can tell you, when you go to bed at night, when that's the thing, we have a little farm out in Chester, and I'll work out there. And I mean, it's amazing, dude. I'll be running a saw or chopping wood or whatever it may be for 12 hours through the summer to come in just dripping wet.
Yeah.
And I mean, everything I can do to get food in me at 10 o'clock at night and hit the, and dude, you wake up in the morning, you're like, that was a good day.
Yes.
You know? And that's what I mean, again, nobody is going to die from everyday exhaustion of doing the thing, just doing a little bit more, you know, and we all act like we're just so put out. And
well, it's interesting. In the moment, we all seek comfort.
Yeah.
But we all appreciate progress later.
Yeah.
So that's exactly true. Is every time, every decision you're making about what to do next is going to be resisted against being comfortable.
Yeah.
But every time you would look back at a good decision, you realize, like, every time you look back at an active decision, like, I chose to do this rather than not,
right,
you always feel good.
Yeah.
So it's trying to remember that for the next decision and fight off that comfortable, like, talking you out of it type of feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to take this on too long. I just, like I said, that first quote was the one that really just kind of opened my eyes. And I always thank Rob for his time, because he's gracious with it. And like I said, I hope this helps somebody. And again, like I said, it was allowing me to talk through some of these things that I know can be frustrating for everybody. Is, you know, am I maximizing my time throughout my day, throughout my week, throughout my month, throughout my life? You know, and that's the thing I think everybody really truly wants, is to be able to come to the end of their time to say, hey, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, that's the thing we all want to be able to hear, is you did well, and you didn't waste. And so that's the thing I'll challenge everybody with, and myself. I mean, I'm preaching to myself on this as much as anybody
else. Yeah, this is as much for us. And yeah, like, I think a big thing is having purpose to what you do.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the purpose of that time is to relax.
Yeah.
Sometimes the purpose of the time is to slow down.
Right.
And sometimes the purpose has to be to speed up and get your butt moving.
Yeah.
So I do think, like, when you read quotes like this, oftentimes people get like, I'm going to be proactive and I'm going to accomplish everything. You hit it running, you get burned out, you get tired. So understanding that when you need a break, like, if I am so worn out that I need to take an hour to just watch TV, that's okay. There's purpose to that hour.
Sure.
You're letting yourself decompress. But then after 1 hour, get back off your butt and get moving again.
Right.
But understanding that as long as you have a purpose to the minutes that you're spending, that's what leads you to the end of your life happy.
Yeah.
Knowing that you used each minute. Maybe you used it to relax. Maybe you used it to build, you know, a big dream. Maybe you used it to invest into others. But you know that you used each minute, rather than, like, in having a purpose each minute, rather than having it wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last quote I'll leave us with, and then Rob can close us up. is the bad news is time flies. The good news is you're the pilot.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. So time is going to keep ticking away, but what you do with it is your choice. So I think this is, I enjoy this stuff because too often in life, we don't take the time to look deeper into life itself and really analyze how we're all doing. Yeah. I think we all struggle with the feeling of not having enough time. So it's nice to talk with someone about that, work through your mindset. And, you know, maybe in the moment, you don't, you just got to talk, but usually you come away with that feeling that there's some cohesive thought or something you can take away from it.
Sure.
You know, something to improve your life with. Okay. So thank you for being here.
Thanks, yes, as always, Rob. I appreciate it.
And then if you want to find more information from us, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Gym. If you like this podcast, please share it. So the more people we help, the happier the world's going to be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we would love to hear from you. This podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about, okay? So our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.